this song that we just sang based on 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14, the idea of a humbled heart, meaning seeking God's face. We hear in the gospel the talk of Jesus talking about people who can honor with their lips, but their hearts are far away from God. You get the feeling that our heart is a pretty big deal. Today, this coronavirus world that we live in, we are a little worried about contamination, aren't we? I was in the grocery store about 2 days ago, and I'm walking through the produce section, and I'm watching this lady hack and cough all up and down in the produce section. And when she went through about her third coughing fit while she was on the phone, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I said, please, cover your cough. Between coronavirus and wanting my guacamole to be somewhat clean, I was worried about contamination. But tonight, Jesus reminds us that the most vile, the most dangerous contamination of all does not come from the outside. We can wash our hands and wear our masks and isolate ourselves all we want. But Jesus very clearly says in tonight's gospel, the worst contamination of all is right in here. It's in our hearts. Perhaps you've had this experience. You've walked with Christ for a few years. Now for some of us, it's probably a few decades. And we can catch ourselves and be so surprised. Did I really think that? Did I really say that? And we know that the thing we've thought, the thing that we've said, the action that we took is so far afield from where God would have us be. And we catch ourselves and we realize again the truth of what Jesus knew and the truth of what he talked about and taught here to us tonight. It is out of the mouth, out is what proceeds out of our heart. Out of the heart comes the evil thoughts. I can't believe I thought that. Out of our heart come the evil actions, theft, false witness, slander. It's fascinating to think about that the worst contamination is not something that we can avoid with our hand sanitizers, but it's something that we need done inside of us, a cleanness that we need brought there, a renewal of our hearts. And that is part of the reason why we're looking at Galatians 5 and why that's our focus for this Lenten season. Because it's going to talk a bit about how we find this change for our hearts. As I mentioned in the little welcome paragraph that was in the bulletin or on the screens, that this problem in our hearts, it doesn't take much for evil to take root. You know, it doesn't take much for mold and uncleanness to grow. Just leave a piece of bread out for about 2 days, and you'll start to see this stuff grow. Leave a jar of spaghetti sauce in the refrigerator with the lid off for a week or so, and you'll start to see, even there, in your little 37-degree refrigerator, that the mold and the yuck will grow. And if we will then turn our realization not just to refrigerators and bread on the counter, but to our own hearts, we realize that it's there. The Apostle Paul, inspired by God, tried to say the same thing to us. He said, you have these two opposing things in your life. You've got the Spirit, which we receive at baptism, which makes us new, and then we have what Paul calls the flesh. We sometimes call it the sinful nature. Martin Luther, back in his day, described it as the old Adam. And this old Adam, this sinful nature, this flesh, opposes the things of God and the ways of God and even God himself. Now, we don't like to think that way because, you know, we're good church-going folks. We're the ones that want to honor God with our lips. And I mean, heaven's sakes, you know, Pastor, I'm the one that's out here on a Wednesday night, and a lot of the other church members aren't. Come on. I get some points for that, don't I? God says to us that even in the most honoring person, there's still that problem in our hearts. There's still that opposition that's there. There is a string or a stream of Christianity that thinks that people are basically good. And we Lutherans say people have good in them, but they're still basically bent. We're bent towards sin. That sinful nature is there inside of us unless something conquers over it, unless something overcomes it. And it is that nature that Paul wrote about when he says that these words of the flesh are so obvious, and he describes sexual immorality, the very first thing that was on Jesus' list. He talks about sensuality and slander fits of anger, the very things that Jesus himself spoke about. Their lists are very much paralleled, very much complementary to each other. They're the things that, left alone, when we think no one's watching, when we think no one can see or hear, will notice, or judge, that we sometimes try to get away with. I notice, it's fascinating to me, I've shared this story that most of the time, even here in Houston traffic, except when I think it'll get me killed, most of the time I drive with cruise control on, right? The speed limit's 65 on the Sam Houston Toll Road, I'm going to go 65. And it's fascinating how many people get religion and join me at the speed limit of 65 as soon as they see a police car on the side or perhaps right in front of them. That was always the one I enjoy, was when I'm going along, I notice a police car in front of me, and I see these cars about to come zooming past me, and all of a sudden they notice the police car too, and suddenly they get the 65-mile-an-hour religion. But we think there are the things we can get away with. And Paul, to warn us, not because God's a killjoy, not because he's mean, but actually because he loves us and he's trying to save us from giving in to the lower, worst instincts of ourselves, Paul says at the end of that passage, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I think it might be worthwhile to pull out something in the original language text, and that is those who have done and those who keep on doing those things. If we've ever done any of those things once, and I think everybody in this room could say that there's at least one of those things on that list I've done at least one time, if not multiple times, we can hear him say that it's the continuing to do that pattern. It's the continuing to let the flesh win. That's the issue. That's the problem. We want to find that victory. We want to find the way to get past, for these two are opposed to each other, and they keep you from doing the things you want to do. Sounds a bit like Paul's dilemma that he mentions in Romans 7. The good things that I want to do, that I know I should do, I don't do. And the bad things that I don't want to do and I know I shouldn't do, those are the very things I keep on doing. Now, if I don't do the good and I do the bad, then I know that God's right and his law is true. But who can save me from that? Where's the conquering of it? We need a change of heart, don't we? The answer is the Spirit. The Spirit that is given. When we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But how do you and I walk by the Spirit or even get the Spirit in the first place? Well, the answer is from the one who, after rising from the dead, after dying on the cross to cancel out our sins and rising from the dead, then appearing to his disciples and saying, peace be with you, your sins are all forgiven, receive the Holy Spirit. The answer is Jesus gives that gift. The answer is he gives a clean slate that is ours, available to us because of that sacrificial death on the cross. His heart pierced and his blood flowed so that your heart and mine could be made clean, could be made new. David longed for that. And in Psalm 51, after he had been caught in his terrible sin of adultery and murder and these things that are all on this list that Jesus speaks of, David, when he had been caught and then heard God's grace, wrote this beautiful psalm, which you perhaps know the words from our liturgy, create in me a clean heart, O God. renew a right spirit within me. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me, but instead, let me follow after you. This is the gift that he offers to us, this opportunity for us to switch from being hypocrites who want to hide and see what we can get away with, who want to honor God here at church services or with our lips or with our bumper stickers, but then act in ways that dishonor God and that our hearts show that our hearts are really far away. The opportunity for us is to have a new heart, renewed by his Holy Spirit. And we get that conquering when we grab a truth that Paul speaks just a little bit earlier in Galatians chapter 2, whereas we're here in 5 right now. It's Galatians 2, verse 20. It's a scripture that I have wished and prayed that Christians would memorize. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you and I face the temptation, when we face that thing coming out of our heart, when we have that moment, did I really think that? When we catch ourselves before we actually say it or act on it, we can say, I've been crucified with Christ. It isn't just me facing that impulse, that negativity, that sinful flesh moment. It is him with me. And he who already paid for it, and he who already conquered over it by his death and by his resurrection, showing he had a love and a grace stronger than what even the worst the world could put out, he who has been crucified and risen is there to help take that sin from us, to absorb it, and let us instead walk by the Spirit. That gift that he gives, led by him and his Spirit, led to remind us of words like Galatians 2:20, that we've been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. We, led by that Spirit, can now say no to sin and can say yes to God. We can let that which comes out of our mouth, which really comes out of our hearts, be pure. Create in me that clean heart. Give me that gift which Jesus died to give, which Jesus saves and changes and transforms. Let that sinfulness inside of me be crucified, as Martin Luther talked about, as we daily drown the old Adam, as we put it aside and say, I want to hear your voice above all. I want your strength above all. I need your purity. And I know that you watch me always. So help me, O Lord. This is the gift that he offers to us, and this is what can truly change us and enable us to walk by his Spirit. May God help us seek it. May God help us, if it's a useful tool for you to remember it, Galatians 2:20, to remember it. And may God help us always depend on his grace to have a clean heart. Amen. I want to invite you now to pray a bit with me about that before we continue with our offering. Lord God, we know there are people that are on our minds and hearts who are sick. We know even, Lord, some who are mourning. And we lift up and ask you to intercede and care for them. But we also know that there is a sickness inside of us called sin. And we are so grieved that it still has a hold in us, it still wins more as often as it does, and pulls us away from your ways, causes our hearts to not honor you. We're grieved, O Lord, by our sin, and we ask for your grace once again. We ask for your Spirit to come. For you died, you rose, and you promised you would send him to help us. So lead us by your Spirit, so that we too might live a life where our sinful nature is crucified, and it is you, by your Spirit, living in and through us. Lord, hear us in this prayer and all of our prayers here tonight. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.